Hi everyone, I'm Haley Griffiths and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 57. I'm Brian Peters and this week we're taking a very scientific approach to social media strategy, looking at seven surprising facts behind why people share and engage on social media.
Honestly, this might be one of my favorite episodes yet, Brian. When we were doing the research for this one, I didn't realize how deep of a rabbit hole we'd end up going down into social media psychology. There are a lot of great data points and takeaways for everyone today.
Agreed, Haley. I'm really, really excited about this one. I think at one point I even considered calling us Dr. Peters and Dr. Griffiths for this episode, but I'm not sure we could pull it off.
Yeah, I don't know.
All righty, let's get started.
First off, some good news for all of you marketers listening. Humans are intrinsically inclined to share information. How exciting is that? So the New York Times ran a huge study a few years ago where they found out that nearly 2 out of 3 people feel a strong urge to share valuable information when they find it. The study also found that people took as much pleasure in sharing information as they did in discovering and learning it. So the trick is to figure out which content to create that will make people want to share.
Exactly. Minor details, right? But that's where psychology comes into play. Even if we think that likes, comments, and shares are seemingly random, they're actually deeply tied to the desire for human connection. And understanding the psychological factors behind what motivates your audience is the only true way to deliver great content every single time, whether that's on social media, a blog post, your website, in a webinar, even on a podcast. It's like being a great storyteller. You have to know the elements of a great story first.
The first and most obvious fact behind why people share and engage is emotion. As social media users, you know how quickly a controversial or inspiring piece of content can go completely viral. Social media is a very emotional experience for a lot of users, filling our brains with chemicals like dopamine and oxytocin. There's all this like sharing and liking, and it's all driven by positive emotions. In 2015, Stephen Rayson from BuzzSumo ran a study on the internet's most viral content and identified 7 emotions as the strongest for driving social sharing. Those 7 emotions are amusing, surprising, heartwarming, beautiful, inspiring, warning, and shocking. Can you guess which of these emotions led to the most liked and shared content?
Ooh, tell me more, Haley.
Okay, it was amusement. I mean, who doesn't love a good laugh and want to brighten up someone's day? That's why we focus so much on entertaining social media content here at Buffer. It outperforms other types of content tenfold.
The second reason that people share and engage on social media, and I think I and you usually fall within this category, Haley, is to entertain. According to a study conducted by psychologists at UCLA, the primary reason people share is to entertain, inspire, and be useful to others. Their study suggests that people are highly attuned to how the things they're seeing and reading will be useful or interesting, not just to themselves, but also to other people. The researchers also explain that people always seem to be on the lookout for who else might find a particular piece of content helpful, amusing, or interesting. And UCLA's brain data showed some really strong evidence around that. To break this down a bit, when we first consume a piece of content, one of the primary thoughts we have is, will others find this interesting? And we may not directly ask ourselves this question, but it's something that we always subconsciously consider. The New York Times called these types of users altruists. They see an act of sharing as a service to those that they care about. And while they don't expect to get any returns from their actions, they love to know how the information was received and appreciated by others. So again, when you're creating content, ask yourself, is this so useful or entertaining that people will share it with their friends and family?
The third reason behind why people interact on social media is because we love talking about ourselves, which is not that surprising.
No way.
I know. Did you know that humans devote about 30 to 40% of all speech to talking about themselves? And then online, that number jumps to 80% of social media posts.
Wow.
You might be asking why, and that's because talking face-to-face is messy and emotionally involved. We don't have time to think about what to say. We have to read facial cues and body language, whereas online, we have time to construct and refine. This is what psychologists call self-presentation, positioning yourself the way you want to be seen in the eyes of other people. In fact, the feeling that we get from self-presentation is so strong, and this is probably also not surprising, that viewing your own Facebook profile has been shown to increase self-esteem. What's also interesting for marketers is that the most prominent way we tend to work on self-presentation is through things, buying things, acquiring things, and the things that signify who we are. So one experiment showed volunteers two types of photos. One was a logo for a brand that they loved, and the other photos of their partners and close friends. And their psychological arousal to the logo was just as intense as the arousal of looking at a picture of their closest friend.
Wow.
Are you creating that type of emotional experience with your audience?
I sure hope so. The fourth element in our exploration of the psychology behind why people share is self-expression. In 1986, psychologists Hazel Marcus and Paula Nourius recognized that there is a disparity between our now self and our possible self. In a paper they published at the time, they developed the concept of our possible selves. It involved three key factors. Number one, the ideal self that we would like to become. Number two, the selves that we could become. And number three, the selves that we were afraid to become. This first self, the idealized version of ourselves, is what we frequently tend to share on social media. It's important to note that whether or not this representation of our possible self is realistic or not is irrelevant. The point is that we're picturing in our minds this possible self that we are or may be someday, and then sharing that information that fits within this notion of who we are. When we share in this mode, sometimes what we're sharing is a sense of our ideal self and who we aspire to be. This is why some people share political commentary, outrage over a particular issue, and success stories of people who they hope they can be like someday. And I think this is where the importance sometimes of headlines on social media can come into play. Good headlines are framed in a way that express opinion either one way or the other. They don't sit in that, you know, that awkward middle ground. So when someone shares it, it's almost like they're saying it themselves.
Number five. People share and engage to stay connected with other people, most often friends and family. It can be something as simple as a quick tag in a post or a DM on Instagram. So going back to that New York Times study from earlier in the episode, 78% of the surveyed respondents indicated that they share information to stay in contact with people who they otherwise might lose track of or who would slip out of their lives. Other experiments have shown that the best predictors of contagious ideas are associated with the parts of the brain that focus on thoughts about other people. What this means is that content designed for social media doesn't need to appeal to a large group or an average group. It just needs to appeal to a specific person. So, although this doesn't have as many direct applications for marketers as some of the other reasons why people share and engage on social media, it does serve as an important reminder that each customer's reach is bigger than we might expect. Every single connection or follower can bring a message into an unexpected segment of the population. So each share matters, and the ones that matter most might not be the ones that look like they would on paper.
Number six, people share and engage on social media as a form of social currency. This is the exact reason why breaking news does so well on social media, because people want to be the first to share something that no one else knows. We've experienced this firsthand at Buffer. When we share the right type of content, we gain social currency. In other words, our stock goes up. And when this happens to individuals, it's a very powerful effect. In fact, 62% of people say they actually feel better about themselves when people react positively to what they've posted on social media. But how can brands create this social media currency? By, of course, having something interesting to say. So Jeff Goins wrote a very interesting article about a little-known research paper from the 1970s that attempts to create a unified theory of what makes something interesting. And I thought this was super interesting. The author of that article, Murray Davis, says that all interesting content is an attack on the taken-for-granted world of their audience. Things that are interesting deny our assumptions in some way. In other words, they shake things up.
The seventh and final reason why people share and engage on social media is to support a cause. I love this one because it might be one of the most powerful uses of social media over the last decade or so. We've witnessed how impactful people's actions on social media can be with things like the Ice Bucket Challenge or natural disasters around the world, like the tsunami in Japan or the earthquake in Nepal. A mind-blowing 84% of people report to have shared some sort of cause or issue that they care about on social media. That's a lot of people. It's by far the most compelling reason to share, and these shares can come in large and small forms, ranging from a simple tweet in support of a side of a recent political issue to participation in a widespread momentous event. Those who share causes or issues that are important to them feel as though they're making a difference in addition to supporting something worth the effort. These opportunities are incredibly hard to create for brands. One, because they often come across as inauthentic, and two, because they're usually people and not brand driven. And that's why it's often more fruitful to look for important conversations to be a part of as a brand rather than to try and create one entirely on your own.
Ooh, Dr. Griffiths and our wonderful listeners, thank you all for joining us today for another episode of The Science of Social Media. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, or should I say, if you were inspired by what you heard today, we would greatly appreciate it if you send this episode to one friend or one family member who you think might enjoy it too. It'll be a form of social currency, no doubt.
Well said, Dr. Peters. Be sure to tune in next week for episode number 58 of our show. We have a very special guest joining us. We'll give you a hint to who that might be by telling you he just released another book, and the episode is all about marketing that lasts. So I will leave you with that. Until next week, everyone.